Hello, and welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Harvest Church here in Elk Grove. We're excited to have you join us as we share God's message of hope and love. Each week, we bring you a new message from our pastors and guest speakers designed to inspire, uplift your spirits, and challenge you. Whether you're listening on your commute, at home, or on a walk, we hope these messages will bring you closer to God and help you on your faith journey. So without further ado, let's listen in.
Praise God. If you don't mind, stand with me. I want to read the word of God, and I want to preach a message this morning called Faith Enhancers. Look at your neighbor, say, Faith Enhancers. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Nelson. I want to read to you from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. It says this. It says, but also for this very reason, give all diligence and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. He says, for if you have these things, if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would bless us, Father. I pray that you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would enlighten the eyes of our understanding. God, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would come into this room and illuminate the word of God, that even as I preach and minister the scriptures, that you would speak to the hearts and the minds of your people. Lord, I pray that our faith would be enhanced, that we would mature and grow in you, that we would live like you, love like you, act like you, think like you, and be like you, Jesus. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You've established the word of God in the heavens. Now I ask that you would establish it in the hearts of your people. Have your way. Be glorified and exalted in this place. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated. God is so good this morning. I'm excited to preach this message entitled Faith Enhancers. Look at your neighbor and say, Faith Enhancers. See, here in America, we can come up with so many different and weird things. Now, go back with me maybe 30 years ago. How many of, and for those of you who are alive 30 years ago and functioning, because some of you are not alive 30 years ago. You said, where was I? I was in my mother's womb, or I was just, you know, I wasn't even a thought yet. I was in maybe someone's vision of the future. So you may not have been alive 30 years ago, but go back 30 years ago. And did anyone in this room ever believe that we would have little powder packets that we would pour inside of a bottle so that we can enhance our water? Did anyone have that vision or that dream? Anyone raise your hand. If you did, you missed it, because you could have became a billionaire if you did. Right? So whenever we get the bottle of water, which is a cool thing, it wasn't enough to just drink water, but now we had to get enhancers for our water. And what does an enhancer do? Not only, it does several things. Number one, it adds flavor and taste. So for you, those of you who struggle and you say, I don't like drinking water, well, go get a water enhancer and you'll be blessed. You can get kiwi, you can get passion fruit, strawberry, watermelon, whatever you like. Praise God, it's your choice. You get to choose what flavor enhancer you want. But the second thing, an enhancer sometimes will give you electrolytes. Some of the enhancers have vitamins on the inside of them, because it says that your water is wonderful and it's necessary and it's important. But there's a way to upgrade your water and make it a little bit better than what it was before. Amen. But see, this concept did not start with the people who created the enhancers. This concept started with God through the Apostle Peter, because he writes about adding things to your faith. And I've been reading this and looking over this for the last couple of weeks. And one day, probably about a week and a half ago, as I was looking at this, I really felt like the Lord leapt in my spirit and said, you need to tell my people that they they need to enhance their faith, because faith is important. But if you can add a little something extra to it and make it even better, who wouldn't like to upgrade their faith and go from coach to first class? Can I get an amen? See, I don't know if you know about flying, but coach and first class is just two totally different animals. See, if your coach experience is bad enough, you're by the bathroom and you can, after the flight, you begin to, the aroma of the bathroom begins to kind of float through the aisle. But if you're in first class, you're not experiencing these things. And God wants us to have a first class Christian experience. Can I get an amen? Amen and amen. I pulled several of the things that I'm going to reference from commentaries and study Bibles, because I loved how they broke down the different enhancers that we're going to talk about. So I want to tell you that on the front end, that I use study Bibles and commentaries to pull a lot of the enhancers. But I want to talk to you, first of all, that Peter gives us recommendations of how to approach our faith. There's a certain way that you should approach your faith, and there are two elements that Peter starts with before he begins to give you the enhancers that will upgrade your faith and bring it to first class. Can I get an amen? First of all, he says, give all diligence. Look at your neighbor, say, give all diligence. When he said this, he was talking about make a maximum effort to increase the effectiveness of your faith. So when he says make all diligence, he's not talking about lanyap. For those I've been giving French lessons to, what does lanyap mean? A little something extra, amen? He said this is not a lanyap moment. I don't want you to give a little something extra. He says I want you to give maximum effort to add to your faith, or give all diligence. So he says not only should you have faith, but you should give maximum effort to add these seven virtues to your faith, because he says in the end, he said if you do this, then your faith will be effective. Amen. You don't want to just believe in God, but you want the belief that you have in God and in the Word of God to have impact on everything you do, everywhere you go, and everyone that you're around. Amen? Have you ever heard the terminology, and I've heard this, and I love this terminology or this analogy. It says that when you're around this person, they have gravity or they have pull. God wants you to have a faith that has a pull on it, that people can sense and feel that the hand of God is upon you. And I want to give you the seven enhancers over these next few weeks to show you how to have a pull or gravity on your faith that draws people into relationship with Christ, but it even causes you to go deeper with God. Can I get a yes and amen? Amen. So he said, give maximum effort to increase your effectiveness of faith. He said, the Christian life is not lived to the honor of God without effort. That means we have to put in some work. And even though God has poured his divine power out on us as believers, the Christians, we are required to make every disciplined effort alongside of what God has done. There's an element where you believe in God, but James said that faith without works is dead. That's right, he said it's dead. So there has to be some actions put alongside of your faith. Faith is a belief, but it doesn't just stop with what you believe. It says, because I believe in this, these are the actions that I take, or this is the way that I'm going to live. Amen. Amen. That was a good amen over there. If I had a popsicle, you can have one. God bless you, my brother. Mango, amen. Mango is a good flavored popsicle, by the way. I'm just saying. Never had one. Go get you a mango popsicle. He said, not only give all diligence, but he said, add to your faith. He said, add to your faith. I said, uh-oh, isn't faith enough? It is enough, but he says, don't just stop with that. He says, bring it to the next level, upgrade it. He said, add to your faith. And when he says add, this word means to give faith. lavishly or to give generously. To give lavishly or to give generously. Amen. I love this church. This church is so multicultural. We have different people groups and nations and nationalities represented. And I remember some of our friends, and I don't know if they're watching, but they're in the Seattle SeaTac area. But they brought us for a feast. They're Tongan and Samoan. And they said, hey, we would love to feed you. And they fed. We went to preach at their church, and then they fed us. And they said, we want to bring you to dinner. And I thought that we were going to dinner like American-style dinner. I thought like dinner meant like you cook something, maybe you have a main, you have a couple of side dishes, you have a dessert, you feed us, and that's dinner. They then tell me that they were bringing us to a feast. See, I don't know if you know the difference between a dinner and a feast. A feast is like several dinners put into one setting, and then they just sit there and expect you to eat through all of the different. No, for real, we stayed there for like 3 hours so that we could just, we were like pacing ourselves like marathon runners. It's like, okay, baby, this is mile five. I could eat like these couple of items, but I'm gonna have to wait the next hour before I get to mile 10 and I'm able to eat these items. And Peter was telling them, add to your faith, which means to give lavishly or generously. So he's saying, when you are going to the place to give diligently and to add to your faith, make sure that you are abundantly attaching and connecting these components to your faith, because if you do them, it will cause your faith to be effective. The faith enhancers are graces from God to add to our faith to cause us to be more effective. Amen? How many of you want to be effective in your Christian walk and in your faith with God? Amen? For those who say, that's not me, I have an altar call after service. We got you. Praise God. We'll get you into the kingdom. You're good. So I want to give you three faith enhancers. Today, I'm going to give you three faith enhancers. I'm going to give you some mango, some strawberry, and some kiwi today, amen? We got other flavors of faith enhancers coming up next week, but I'm going to give you three today. I'm going to give you the first three faith enhancers that he's speaking of that we should add to our faith and that we should give all diligence to connect with what God is desiring to do in us. Number one, he says, faith enhancer number one is virtue. Everyone say virtue. The word virtue is a marking or a list of moral excellencies that is meant to be a God-given ability to perform heroic deeds. When we talk about this list of moral excellencies in the Greek, it is a God-given ability to perform heroic deeds. So when we talk about adding to our faith virtue, it's saying add heroic, God-given, or heroic deeds to our God-given ability so that our faith can be enhanced. We talk about being superheroes, and we love the story of the superhero coming to save the day. But Peter is saying, in your walk with God, add to your faith virtue, which is an element of having a heroic, God-given thing that you do in your deeds. You can be someone's superhero. You can save the day when you take your faith and you come alongside of them and you have virtuous actions that impact them in a powerful and life-giving way. That's why in Proverbs 31, the title is called The Virtuous Wife. Why? Because as you go through Proverbs 31, it has this list of actions, deeds, and behaviors that she does that impacts her husband, her children, and society around her, and she becomes a female superhero. Whoa! Come on now. You may not float around Harvest Church in the greater Sacramento area with a cape and a robe, but you can be a hero or heroine because you add virtue to the faith that you have in Christ, and your deeds have an impact that transforms and changes people's lives. Yeah. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're responding. Look at your neighbor and say, you can be a superhero too. That's right. This word virtue, and this is from the Bible commentary, it also came to mean that that the quality of life which someone lives stands out as excellent. The quality life that you live, it stands out as excellent. The Bible says in the book of Daniel that Daniel had a spirit of, that's right. He had an excellent spirit that everything he did, everything that he engaged in, he said, Lord, allow my deeds to impact people in a powerful and heroic way. And God gave him an excellent spirit so that everything that he did produced fruit and brought glory and honor to the name of his God. And guess what? He was in a Babylonian heathenistic society, so even more his excellency brought glory to God because it separated him from everyone that was around him. You want to make a difference in the marketplace, at your job, your work, be a person of excellence. You will stand out. Amen? Come on, what's this thing called quiet quitting? Quiet quitting is not for the believer, because the believers are people of excellence, and we don't quietly quit, but we excel in what we do, which will cause everyone around us to recognize that we are different than everyone else. And when they say, why are you so different? It's because I serve the Lord. Because I want to honor Jesus in all that I do. Well, I didn't ask you about religion. Well, you asked me what makes me different. I'm just saying. You asked what makes me different. Well, I'm not quietly quitting, but I'm operating in the spirit of excellence. This is an act of worship at my job. It just happens to be I get paid for being excellent and bringing Jesus glory. Oh. Mm. Oh, that was some good stuff right there. That was some good stuff right there. See, because if you do it for man or people, you're going to miss it. Amen? Come on, if you do it for people, you're going to miss it. But if you do it to the glory of God, it doesn't matter what they say, how they think, or how they feel. You're bringing glory to God because you work as unto the Lord. So you can tell Bubba Gump at your work, I'm not working for you. I'm working to bring Jesus glory. Amen. For that, oh, that laughing. Amen. Yes and amen. I'm getting free this morning. Praise Jesus. Amen. Peter is writing about a moral energy, the power that performs deeds of excellence. He is speaking of a moral energy, the power that performs deeds of excellence. You need to write that down. When you are operating and adding virtue to your faith, you are operating and performing deeds of excellence. Amen. Hallelujah. Number two, knowledge. He said, add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge. Knowledge means understanding, having correct insight, or truth properly comprehended and applied. This is from the Bible commentary. It says this means having understanding, having correct insight, and truth that is properly comprehended and applied. This virtue involves a diligent study and pursuit of truth in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. People say everything is relative. You can live that way and come back to me in about 10 years and tell me how that worked out. There is a... Let me just be practical. If the people that wrote the scriptures did it 2,000, 3,000 years ago, and it anchored entire nations and societies and regions of the world, don't you think that bit of wisdom might be practical and helpful for today and what we're trying to figure out? Entire nations and societies have been anchored by what happened in the scriptures. Amen? David told Solomon, he says, Solomon, I just read this in 1 Chronicles. He told Solomon, he said, listen, you're about to become the king of the most powerful nation in the world. And he said, you know how you're going to be successful as king? He said, follow God's decrees, follow his word, follow his directions, follow what's in the scripture. He said, if you follow the word, then you're going to end up being a good king. He didn't say a good priest, a good pastor, a good prophet. He said, you're going to be a good king. That means even in the realm of politics, he said, you will be a good king if you follow God's word. If David told, and David had a successful reign as king, how much more do we have the ability to have great success in life, marriage, family, job, work, finances, if we follow the word of God? Amen. It is not a suggestion. These are things that are grounded and rooted in truth that has the power to transform and change you if you would integrate it and bring it into your life. Amen? Praise God. Listen, Kim Kardashian cannot give you the type of advice you need to stay married for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Kim Ye didn't work out so well. But the word of God can give you the wisdom and insight to stay connected for a lifelong run in this lifetime. Amen? Amen. Praise God. 2 Timothy 3:16, this is not going to be on your thing, but I'm going to read it to you. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong, and it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to teaches us to do what is right. So if you don't know, the word of God is to help you say, this is right, this is wrong, and if you're doing wrong, this is how you go from doing wrong to doing right. Verse 17, and it says, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Not some good works, not most good works, not a few good works. It says, no, the word of God has been given to God's people to prepare them, prep time, and to equip them, enable them to do every good work. Amen? So when he says, add to your faith virtue, and then he said, add to your virtue knowledge, he said, add the word of God and the things that you need to be equipped and prepared to do every good work so that your faith is strong and God is glorified in you and through you. A.W. Tozer says this, the Christian is strong or weak depending on how closely he has cultivated the knowledge of God. You want to know God? Read about God through his love letter. Read about God through who he says he is. Amen? You can tell me about God, or I can go straight to God and God tell me about God. I would opt to do the latter. Both is fine, but I want to do the latter. I'm gonna be a little naughty right now. Amen? When I went to college, I went to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We were there every Wednesday night. And the reason I so distrusted Christians. I wasn't saved at the age of 18 when I went to college. I so distrusted them, I started reading the Bible because this was my reasoning as an 18-year-old. I said, all these preachers said this is in the Bible and that's in the Bible. I said, how do I know they're not lying to me? I said, the only way I'm going to know what's in the Bible is if I actually read the Bible. So that year, my freshman year of college, as an unbeliever, I read the entire New Testament from Matthew to Revelation. And the more I read, the more the scales started falling off of my eyes. And the more my eyes opened up, and I said, oh my God, my whole life I have misperceived who God is. I've misperceived who Jesus is. I've misperceived the purpose of the church. I've had a wrong belief about all of these things because the sources of my information came from everyone else but from God through the scripture. So when I, even as an unbeliever, when I started studying the truth, what God did is he imparted knowledge to me to begin understanding how he operates, not the perception of how I thought he operated. 18 years old, unsaved. God was like, I'm opening your eyes to see the truth. I said, oh my God. Jesus, you died for me? While I was yet a sinner, you died for me? That didn't make, why? What do I have to exchange? He says, nothing, just come by faith. Believe that I died on the cross and rose again on the third day. Well, I don't have to pay you anything for salvation. He said, nope. I don't have to offer you anything. Nope, he said, just trust and believe in me. I said, this doesn't make sense. This is a one-sided deal. This is a great deal for me and a horrible deal for you. Because I'm the only beneficiary. You're getting a life that's messed up, torn up, destroyed, and you're giving me the benefit. And that's all you're getting is this messed up life. He said, yeah. So, oh my God. Revelation of love. See, love never seeks to see what it can get. Love always looks at what it can give. Lust goes after what it wants. Lust goes after what it desires. Love goes after what it can give with no expectation in return. Oh, come on, somebody. And the third and final virtue is this, is self-control. Self-control. He said, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge. And he said, add to knowledge self-control. Amen. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, put that biscuit down. Hallelujah. Put it down. Put it down. I went to Black Bear Diner yesterday. I had to speak to myself, put the biscuit down. Self-control. The Greek word for self-control, or the definition, it literally means holding oneself in. Holding oneself in. Amen. Praise God. I'm not going to get in trouble right now. Oh, sister, you're not ready for me. Oh, no, 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 no. I'll just say this. Back in the 1800s, in the Victorian era, they used to have the girdles and they would tie them up to hold in, right? No, for real, the girdle was meant to hold in. I was trying not to. That's why I didn't use a modern day example. I'm using the Victorian age. Victorian, hundreds of years ago. I'm gonna look at this side of the church. I'm not looking. But they would tie the girdle together and they would string it and pull it because it was meant to hold in. Self-control, as an addition to our faith, is meant to hold us in. And in the Greek culture, this spoke of self-discipline, the same type of self-discipline that an athlete or an Olympian had to have so that they can compete and be an effective Olympian. Amen? So when we talk about self-discipline, we're talking about the ability to be held in so that we can effectively live out our faith, just like an Olympian is held into the disciplines of their training, of their diet, of their regiment, so that they can compete at the highest level to receive the gold medal. That's why you can't just do what you want to do. Just like an athlete, an Olympian can't just have any type of diet. They have a specific diet that says, I want to perform at the maximum level. And for your Christianity, self-discipline helps you to live and walk with God at the maximum level. Amen? Let me close with this scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says this, "But I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Ooh. Don't disqualify your witness because you don't know how to hold it in. Don't disqualify the Jesus that you talk about because you don't know how to hold it in. Don't mess up what people think about our Lord because you don't know how to hold it in. Amen. Anonymous quote says, if you learn self-control, you can master anything. If you learn self-control, you can master anything. Some of us need to learn how to have self-control with our mouths. Ooh, Jesus. Mm. What you said when somebody cut you off in traffic yesterday, you weren't speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. They saw your mouth moving through the glass, but you was not praying in the spirit. Santa. Jesus. John Wooden said, if you lose self-control, everything else will fall. Tony Evans says this in my conclusion. Says, these qualities act like vitamin supplements, enabling believers to adopt God's kingdom perspective and live in accordance with it. He said, God instructs believers to add these qualities to their saving faith in order to actualize the potential for maturity and godly living. God wants to strengthen our faith and enhance it with the seven elements listed in 2 Peter. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast. We pray that today's message has touched your heart and encouraged your spirit. We believe that the Word of God has the power to transform our lives and inspire us to be better versions of ourselves. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more inspirational messages. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you. And we look forward to seeing you at one of our weekend services and sharing with you once again next week.